This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports, powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
We're rolling on here from the Mariner Spring Training Complex in Peoria, Arizona. Beautiful sunny day. Look at the sun coming out, Dave. Beautiful outside right now. Just having a great time out here, talking to players, talking to broadcasters. We talked to Aaron Goldsmith. Our buddy Dave Sims will step over here in a few moments after Adam Ray lets him go. Stops bending his ear over there. Taylor Trammell will join us at 3:30 after their meeting. Scott Servais coming up at 4. Andres Munoz at 5. It's quite a hit list.
Yes, it is. It's so, they're so cool about it. You know, we got sitting right out beside. Look at
what
Adam Ray. Gee whiz!
What are they doing?
He's going to become, like I said, the team like mascot.
Yeah, I'm telling you, they were looking for office space for him out there. When I walked down the hall, all of a sudden he's running the building. He's going to be back there behind the back there with the chef serving food. He's going to be eating everything. It's just it's all coming up, Adam Ray.
But you mentioned 3:30 with Taylor Trammell, and it's my first chance to get it. You know, to meet him in person, and because he came in 2020, so just such a nice dude.
Yeah,
and you could say that about, well, everybody that we interviewed. Absolutely.
Yeah,
you can say that about. So yeah, there's no lack of team chemistry, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's going well. And you know, speaking of Adam, we went out after the show yesterday, went out to dinner. It was, you know, us, the three of us, and then him and his wife and their family. And we're at a nice place, but they had a TV in the bar. And we got there, and we're keeping an eye, Lefko's keeping an eye on the WBC game, the score, what's going on his phone. And it was like, hey, man, it's the ninth inning. Shohei Ohtani's pitching. Trout is going to be up third. I think Mookie Betts hit into a double play, and Trout's coming up. They're down by a run. And it was the scenario we were talking about yesterday, just sort of hypothetically, like, how crazy would it be if it came down to it and Ohtani's in there in relief and he's got to face his teammate Trout and they're, you know, the game's tied or they're down by one and he's the difference maker, and wouldn't that be great? You know, just kind of throwing out a weird movie script. And it happened.
I couldn't believe that.
And it happened, Dave. I mean, it just, for that to be the thing, and here's the call. Here's the final AB between those two. All right. We'll see if we can locate that, but I'm not sure if we got that call back there.
Mono right here. USA's captain versus Japan's captain.
First time they've ever faced each other. They've been teammates for 5 years. The best against the best. Here's the pitch. Trout swings and misses. Here's the pitch. In the dirt at 102.
Baseball wins tonight.
He throws. Trout strikes out swinging.
There it is. It was just, I mean, what a moment. What an absolute moment that we're daydreaming about. And now we've got the voice of your Seattle Mariners, Dave Sims, sitting here with us. And Dave, we were joking on the show yesterday, just like, how cool would that be? Just talking about the game coming up. How cool would it be if Ohtani's in there in relief, game's on the line, and here comes Mike Trout in the ninth inning? Kind of the Hollywood script. And it happened.
Spielberg got his phone call through, and it happened.
It happened.
Absolutely fantastic.
Can you believe that?
How could you not be at the edge of your seat? You know, my wife was sort of like half paying attention. I said, Ohtani's pitching. And it was galvanizing, to say the least. I mean, very exciting. I think that his pitches went like 100, 100, 102, 102, 102.
And then 87.
Yeah. And then that's
yeah.
The guy, I tweeted, that is Drama. And I said, he's the baddest man on the planet. And can we count high enough for the amount of money he's looking at? Not like a very short distance down the road.
Yeah.
And we got to play him. I've already started looking at the dates when we play the Angels. I was like, oh, goodness. I tell you, for the game, I mean, do I wish he was here? Duh, yeah. My respect for him, my admiration for him. He seems like a great kid. He's got the whole package. He's talented. Off the scale. He's a good-looking son of a gun. Yeah. He's good with people. I mean, he's checking all the boxes. And I remember maybe 2-3 years ago, I saw him go first to third against us, and I was like, are you serious? So I asked his translator. I said, please tell me he ran a 400 in high school. He said he never did. I said, God, that's a waste of an opportunity.
He's 6'4". I mean, just statuesque.
He gobbles up ground. And then the thing I liked, because I got a little bit of track, not as an athlete, but covering it. His lean coming around second is perfect.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Strides. I get that lean. He cuts it off. And that, you know, he doesn't waste space bowing out. He cuts that inside corner. Boom. And he's gone. It's beautiful. As, you know, and, you know, we're all, you know, athletic fans. Digging that, man. Just, you know, he's been killing us. But I totally appreciate and like watching this guy. I mean, I appreciate who he is and what he does.
Dave, you walked through the doors there, and I was like, what player is that? You look good, man.
Thank you, man. Thank you. I appreciate that. I've been staying in the weight room.
Good.
I've been into heavy kettlebells. Not heavy kettlebells, but heavy use of kettlebells in the last, well, since probably mid last year.
Yeah.
And, you know,
good for you.
I pick my cheat dates. I stretch like crazy. Yeah. And, you know, I think I'm a lot older than you guys, and I figured I'd like to keep this going, you know?
Yeah. You're liking how things are going so far. Yeah, Let's keep this going. Hey, yeah, I don't mind
this.
I did
my stretch this morning. I'll throw the weights around again tomorrow. So, no, I enjoyed the heck out of it. Thank you, though.
Yeah. How do you rate this spring training as far as, like, excitement goes? We were talking about what great dudes. Every guy that we have sit down. We're going to get Taylor Trammell, maybe the nicest guy on the planet.
Heck of an athlete.
Yeah.
You know, he ran for like 35 touchdowns as a senior.
Right. Yeah. He was a good football player.
But I didn't have to tackle him.
But, he's solid, too.
Oh, man, he is put together.
Yeah. But as far as your excitement goes, I mean, it's just there's so much to like.
Yeah. Yeah. Year. You know, I tell people all the time, coming in, like people are asking me in January and whatnot, how excited are you? I said, I don't want to use up all my emotional energy right now.
Yeah.
But there is a lot to be excited about with this club. I was just talking to Tom Murphy about the pitching. The pitching is just ridiculous. And with like four or five dudes on the come who may impact, God forbid, if anybody gets hurt, it's not going to be that big a drop-off. But my biggest concern, have all the hitters, all the position players, everybody stay healthy. But the guys that they're going to run out every night, whew, lot to like, man. Lot to like.
You know, we've talked to a bunch of players and just talked to them about their anticipation of the season on the heels of all that success last year, getting over the hump, finally getting to the postseason after two decades. And did you look forward to it more than other seasons? Let me ask you, as a guy that's been doing this a long time, you probably like the break. Okay, off season, I can take a break. Were you anticipating this spring training more than maybe you have in years past?
No, I wouldn't say I was anticipating, but I was a lot more chesty than I usually am. You know, talking about my club, you know, when I'm on the, you know, I live in the East Coast, and when I'm doing my travels and doing college basketball and talking to people and everything, hey man, did you see what we did last year? Hey, we got more of that coming, pal. And that was the vibe I had, and knowing, you know, what's coming back, and you know, you got 44 in center field. I mean, I grew up watching Mays, Clemente, Aaron, Mantle in the World Series seemingly every year. That dude's a keeper. I mean, he's off the chart. And the thing I like, and Scott was just talking about, the thing I like about him, he's smart. He gets it. Like you were just saying, a people person. He's dedicated. Alvin Davis told me a story the other day. When he was in the minor leagues, and he was just, I guess it was first, second year with the organization, you know, he was down at lower levels, and a coach was trying to engage him in some Spanish. He says, no, 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 speak English. That's how I get better. I went,
yeah, wow.
That's a winner. Huh. That's all you need to know, right? I check every box down the line, and, you know, nobody's perfect, but boy, he's a lot closer to it than most of us are, you know? You know, it's... And just, I had said this the other day, and it was funny. Scott said the exact same thing. He likes people. You can see that.
Yeah.
You look at his commercials. The camera loves him, and he loves the camera back. He's comfortable in front of people. And this is a guy with English as his second language. None of us could do that in Spanish and go down there and be confident the way he is and perform at the level he is. I mean, and I say that about most you know, Hispanic athletes. I mean, we don't give them nearly enough credit. Japanese guys, too. They come over here in this culture, and you're thrown right in. Hey, you got to deep in, swim out, pal.
Yeah. And toughest language to learn.
Yeah, right? Idioms and nuances and the regional things. Yeah, it's tremendous respect for these guys.
We had Andres Munoz on, and afterward he says, how was my English after the interview? Mm-hmm. I'm like, at the bravery to go and just, you know, be interviewed in your second language.
To further back up your point, these is a bunch of conscientious people.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love guys that say, you know, chemistry doesn't mean anything. Needs a lot. You know, you played. If you have good chemistry, that's a tremendous foundation. Yeah. You know, guys aren't going to be slugging each other every 5 minutes, you know?
How much do you think Scott Servais gets enough credit? I was kicking and screaming 2 years ago when he finished third in the Manager of the Year voting because it was a joke. I thought it was an obvious choice considering who and what he had to work with,
right.
Who got hurt, who wasn't available. And it's a 90-win team out of nowhere.
100% with you. He got robbed twice the last 2 years.
I thought the first year was even more egregious.
Yeah, right, exactly. At least this year they were coming off a 90. This past year they were coming off a 90.
But nationally?
The year before, nobody was like, come on.
Is he just a guy that people don't focus on?
It's picking up. I was catching up with Jason Stark, who I know forever, and a Philly guy and Hall of Fame writer. He says, teams I like to watch – Houston, the Astros, and Toronto, and you guys. Mm. He says, you guys, you know, people are really starting to pay attention. And I certainly have felt that from correspondence I've gotten, you know, online and whatnot, and people I've seen in person. I mean, you know, most basketball guys are, you know, sports guys too, and they're like, yo, man, you from the Seattle Mariners? Yo, man, we were rooting for you guys. Mm. Hadn't been a playoffs in what? Man, we were rooting for you. So I heard that a lot.
Yeah.
A lot. And that's no exaggeration. I mean, it was like, wow, touching.
Yeah.
Especially given, you know, I've been here through some less than successful campaigns.
Some lean years, Dave. Some lean years. Yeah, you had to brush some things up.
You know what? There's still stories in the other clubhouse. There's still stories in your club. And there's baseball, the macro level. You go, many times I would just go macro level. I mean, you know, down 8-1 in the second inning, you better have something to talk about. You know, it's like, hey, did you see what happened the other day? You know, it's on low ball, too. Man, it's a swing and a drive, and they're down 9-0. Now it's, you know, every night, you know, it's not only do they have a puncher's chance, they have a, you know, they can, this team on occasion can really bludgeon you, and then when you get into tight games, they had all those tight games last year to come from behind wins. I mean, they're fearless. They're not afraid of anything. It's reminiscent for a lot of folks in your listening area, reminiscent to 95, you know, we're trailing so big, you know, so what, that whole thing that went on. But a similar type of spirit exists with this team.
Yeah. Hey, as a broadcaster, I'm curious, two things about when Cal Raleigh hit that home run. A, was it hard not to get emotional? Because I was in the
I went full emotional, dude.
Well, no, I'm talking. See, I was in the stands, and I had tears.
I thought I would earlier in the day. So if something happens, that's a great question. Corey Brock did the piece the other day in Athletic. He said, did you have anything rehearsed? I said, hell no. I said, I'm not an actor. If I were that good, I'd be an actor. You know, I like being in front of the camera if I were that good. But that was just pure emotion, what I came up with. I mean, I wasn't something I thought about. I just reacted to it.
But the other part of that is your call became viral. That video was all over Twitter. It was everywhere.
I thank Tim Walsh.
Is that gratifying for you? Was that kind of, I mean, what kind of response? Or were people hitting you up and, hey, I saw your call?
Yeah,
and,
you know, it's a Sally Field moment, you know.
They really like me.
You didn't know where that was going.
I'm sorry. I caught that one about 3 seconds late. Sorry, Dave.
You got it. But that, yeah, I mean, anytime you guys know, when you get saluted for stuff that you do, it's gratifying as heck. But at that level, dude, that is in my wildest imagination. I mean, I thought the Haniger call, that was, you know, that was great. That was a once-in-a-lifetime, and I come back almost a year to the day. And, again, Tim Walsh, our social media guy, God bless, he put the GoPro. I mean, it was an historic moment. I mean, you go 20, 21 years not making a playoffs. Dude, you want to document that, and you're going to run that clip and various other clips from the season. You're going to run those bad boys all, you know, forever.
Yep.
And you know, if we can get deep in the playoffs and get to the World Series, guess what? That now takes over in that mantelpiece. I mean, And, you know, Seattle's such a great sports town, such a great baseball town. And to watch, I'm sure the fire marshal was looking the other way and was having a cold one. They say 47,000. If there's 50,000 there, nobody sat.
Yeah, you know, free, and
for the last nine innings, you know, you're going extra innings, and every literally it was like last night's game where you're sitting there, you're at home, but now you know last year you're at the ballpark, and you're like you can't breathe.
Yeah,
and you're just, hey man, we you know we need a break here, and every pitch. You're riding. When's the last time you rode every pitch? Tom, what do you mean?
Well, but that moment. Sorry, Dave. I mean, that moment, Cal Raleigh, pinch hitter, coming off the bench. It's the ninth inning.
Yeah,
it's,
right?
I mean, it. We just talked about the script last night for the WBC.
Yeah.
Here comes Ohtani. Here comes Trout. Like, that's not. That's the movies.
Right.
That's what this was. Cal Raleigh off the bench, playing with a torn ligament in his thumb or whatever's going on. What can he do? He gets down full count. It's just.
And looked bad, and he hit a breaking ball, which he had been owned on prior, you know, so. It's the beauty of sport. That's why we do it, man. That's why we're in it. That's why you guys do what you do. That's why I do what I do. You know, it's the beauty of it, man. And it's unscripted.
Yep.
You know? And that's the thing. People who don't like sports, they don't understand the – it's so visceral and the feeling that – I mean, it takes over your whole body in a moment like that. And I remember when Felix threw his perfect game – and I went out to dinner with some friends. Hopinace, I'll give him a plug on First Avenue. And I get a call from, well, you know Mike Claiborne from St. Louis, right?
Oh, yeah.
Good friend, right?
Yep.
And he said, "The boys at the lodge, really happy for your first brother to call a perfect game." I said, "How you feeling?" I said, "I'm trying to come down." He said, "Don't you ever come down." I was like, "You're right. You're right. I mean, that's the moment I've had the Felix perfecto, the Haniger two-run single, and now the Cal clincher. I mean, three of the greatest moments of my sports life, and I've been watching sports since I was 4 or 5 years old.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah, I mean, it's the only thing that's going to top that is get a World Series and I get a ring that I can put in a safety deposit box. I'm not going to wear it. I'll tell you that right now.
Just for special occasions.
Yeah, just set one. Hey, how are you? I got one.
That'll get you a nice table at the restaurant.
Won't get me on the subway back in New York, but you know, I get me killed on the subway, but I don't want to do that.
Well, this is why you're working out with those kettlebells.
Amen, brother.
You want to keep it going.
That's it, man.
Yeah.
Hey, you got to
be there for that.
You know, you got when Carcel's say you got to shop for the groceries.
We came in here the first day. Cooper Hummel, amazing. Oh, Harry Ford, you know, and so some of the younger guys. I mean, obviously it's about Julio and Cal and the rotation and everything. But wow, that incredible! Because I remember hearing you. And by the way, that song has been in my head, Dave Brubeck.
Oh yeah, Take Five. When he crushed that,
Harry Ford, I
was like.
Yeah.
There we go, boys and girls. This is a winner right here.
Yeah.
He's 20 years old. He knows Dave. He could read. He didn't know the song. The music was there. He read it. Shannon told me, he said, yeah, he can read music. So I said he was right on point.
Yeah.
Dave Brubeck and Paul. I knew it's going to. I'm getting old.
But anyway.
Played the solo. But it's one of the all-time jazz classics.
But, I mean, just, I don't know. That just adds to everything. Now, it doesn't have anything to do with what happens out on the field, but just. Tremendous kids with you know that are just talented in every way,
and it makes you want to like these guys.
Yeah,
even more. I mean, as Seinfeld said, you're rooting for laundry, but now you're getting to know
individuals,
right? Exactly,
right,
and that's probably as much or more fun doing the interviews, the in-game interviews, and now in spring training, you know, doing even more interviews through our pregame, postgame. And also why every day, you know, you see me in a clubhouse, both clubhouses every day.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, Parcells, you got to shop for the groceries. I enjoy the process and enjoy that's how you get to meet guys. And that's how in the sixth inning, you know, 4-3, you know, I was just talking to him, you know, swinging a drive, and he just told me about that the other night. Ah! You know, and that's, you know. That's how I was taught. I mean, as a newspaper guy, you know?
Yeah. You go down there and get in front of them. You're talking about them. So that's the thing to do. And I'm curious, you know, we've been saying this all week. Every time we speak to somebody, Dave and I look at each other and go, what a great guy. What a great guy.
Seriously.
How does this group compare to, I mean, again, you've been doing this a long time here in Seattle. How does this group compare to previous groups? And just in terms of personality and just approachability.
In the past, I found out who the dudes were. And everybody else was like, hey, good to see you. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
But here, everybody, you're dapping up, getting got, yo, what's up? Hey, what's up, man? Hey, how you doing? Hey, you good? Hey, what, you know, guys come over. I just a few minutes ago, Diego Castillo, and said, "Hey, man, what's up, man? How you doing? You all right? Yeah, good. Yeah. I learned from, who was it, Mike Kruko. He says, every day, if you go in a clubhouse, all you have to say is, how you doing? What's up? And guys will say, you know, will usually tell you one way or the other. You know, if they have something to tell you, they're going to tell you. Mm. Or if they're bitching about something, they're going to do it. And now you got, okay. Yeah. And you work it in. And then the relationships, so when it, if it gets in a crisis situation, a guy's going badly. I mean, many times I know after Marco and I hit it off immediately, and I've talked to him after battle. He's like, yo, my man, talk to me. What? I don't go in with, like, my Woodward and Bernstein days are over, but I go and say, what happened? And, you know, you use your empathy, you use your ear, and you just gotta be a good person, man. And, you know, that's, and then guys, well, what happens, as you know, nobody gossips more than athletes.
Yeah.
So the one way or the other, the word's going to get around. You want it to be good.
Yeah.
You know, so that's my philosophy. The sounds of spring training, everybody.
Empty garbage cans being rolled along the cement.
He's doing his job.
There's nothing to complain about.
Yeah, no.
This is great.
Hey, first world problems, pal.
Yes,
that's how I keep myself grounded. My wife and show up. I know, first world problems. Shut up.
Well, we have a segment that's a What's Bugging Bob or Dave or What's Bugging Lefko. Can't do it today, Dave.
No,
we didn't have anything but slow drivers. That's all we have.
Yeah.
You're in Arizona.
Yes.
It's March 22nd. Yeah. The snowbirds have arrived.
Yeah, they're on the roads.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it, though.
Right, exactly. And as long as you don't let that bother you. And I've reached an age now. I've taken my wife and I, we had a great laugh. We've reached the age. We do those early birds now.
Yeah.
Are you in bed by 7:30?
No, but 9:30 here because of the hours, because, you know, when I'm working.
All right, real quick, game, Dave, though. You know. What time's dinner?
Oh,
what's early bird?
Here, 4:30, 5 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And normally, you know, 6, 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
You know, but... You know, it's that stage in life. It's like, dude, I'm hungry.
You eat when you're hungry.
Yep. That's exactly right.
Yeah. The funny thing is, I've been up for about 4.5 hours at that point. So that's a little different.
Man, no kidding.
Dave,
good to see you, boys.
We appreciate you, man.
Hey, appreciate you guys, too. I was just coming out to say hello. I didn't expect to come on, but thank you for the invitation.
You're always welcome.
Good to see you.
You're always welcome.
You got my number. Holler anytime.
The great Dave Sims, everybody. Appreciate him stepping in, talking with us. Coming up, another one of our favorites coming. Taylor Trammell, we had a chance to talk to him earlier. He was out here. The Mariners are having a team meeting, and it'll be wrapping up. He said he'd come out as soon as that was over. So looking forward to a conversation with him as we continue live from Peoria. It's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
What?
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 It's time for What If Wednesday.
Coach would have put me in fourth quarter. We've been state champions, no doubt.
Wyman and Bob rewrite the scripts of major moves and moments in sports every Wednesday afternoon. Now step into an alternative reality with Wyman and Bob.
It is Wednesday, so it is time for What If Wednesday, presented by Mazda of Everett. Waiting for Taylor Trammell to get out of the team meeting, which is still going on, so we're doing What If Wednesday right here. We were talking about this last night. Dave, you were looking through some draft history with the Seahawks, and we were talking about all the people that they had sent out to the Ohio State Pro Day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously everybody goes, oh, they're checking out C.J. Stroud. We're like, well... Yeah, obviously they're going to take a look at him, probably take a look at the O-lineman just to see what everybody's doing. But Njigba, the wide receiver, is the other first-round prospect everybody has going in the first round, and some have the Seahawks taking him at 20, which we were talking about, like, I don't think they've ever taken a receiver, at least under Pete and John, taken a first-round wide receiver. So you were looking through the history and just talking about, you know, Who's that guy? And I think Paul Richardson was the highest draft choice in terms of a wide receiver with Pete and John. He was number 45, if my memory serves correctly.
You are correct.
So the question, so just talking about, wow, would they really do that? Would they go first round wide receiver at 20? And then we started talking about D. Eskridge, who was their first pick in the draft, but it was a second round pick in 2021. And it, to this point, hasn't worked out, hasn't panned out. Injuries have been a big part of his story, and just when he's on the field, hasn't really popped yet. Does it impact your level of confidence in their ability to evaluate, or would you have any apprehension if they said, Number 20, we're going in Jigba. We're going wide receiver.
Yeah, no, I really don't. I think if you're a good evaluator, you're a good evaluator. You know, and it just happens to work out. Remember for a long time, because I think Gary Jennings, is it fourth round?
Yes.
The fourth round wide receivers.
Chris Durham.
There's like a whole bunch of them that it just didn't work out. I mean, and then, you know, the other thing is like the best one, well, Tyler Lockett, they moved up to get.
Yep.
But, you know, for DK, he fell pretty
far. Bottom of the second.
Yeah, he was a lot of people were not going to draft him because of his neck. And he's a superstar. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you look at, is he the superstar on this team? I mean, these young guys are going to come along. That's kind of interesting, just because in a year when Bobby and Russ both left, you know, you're like, okay, who's the superstar now? I guess I want to say Tyler Lockett, but he doesn't really have that, you know, sort of.
The national persona, it's DK.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, but it's a weird year that year, by the way, 2019. The LJ Collier just, you know, is gone. And now Marquise Blair is a guy that I saw play in camp. I was like, this guy's going to be really good. Same thing with Cody Barton, and however you feel about him. Ugo Amadi, Ben Burkervin. Yeah, it was just but as far as drafting, you know, can they pick a player? Can they, to answer your question, you know, if they've had bad luck, I just think it's just that. Mm-hmm. It's just they've had bad luck with wide receivers. Because why would they be able to evaluate corners and, you know, things like that? That's another position that they've not drafted high.
Yeah.
At corners, I think.
Wasn't Shaq Griffin?
Shaq Griffin is the highest draft choice. So, yeah, I don't think it's necessarily that they miss the boat on wide receivers just because of the position.
Yeah, that draft that year, the Seahawks only had three picks, the D'Eskridge year.
Yeah.
It was Eskridge, it was Trey Brown, and Stone Forsyth.
Mm-hmm.
And to this point, you haven't really gotten much out of any of them. Stone was always looked at as a project. You don't really expect him out of the gate to be a contributor because that's just how he was portrayed. Hey, this is a guy who's got all the raw tools, the physical nature we need, but he's very raw. He's a project. Trey Brown, you and I both liked a lot. He's had a hard time staying healthy, you know, still waiting for that to happen. But I don't look at them missing on D'Eskridge. And maybe, you know, to this point, it's been a miss, but maybe, who knows, maybe this year he pops. We'll see what happens. I don't view it as if they took a receiver at 20 that, oh, man, I don't like it because they don't do that position well. That's not how I view it. And if anything, it would just make me wonder, all right, you're spending a first-round pick. It's not your number five, but it's your number 20 pick on a receiver. Is this a guy you're looking at to eventually replace Tyler Lockett, perhaps, who's he's not old. He's certainly not diminished in his production. But of the group, he's the older guy. DK's the younger guy. Is this, you know, he comes in as maybe the three receiver with the intention of being the other guy on the other side of DK at some point.
Yeah, I mean, and I guess that would be, I think that was the one we keep saying, like, I'll be annoyed if they pick a wide receiver, you know, in the first round, because you need defensive tackles, you need linebackers, you need a center, interior offensive lineman, and you've got DK and you've got Tyler Lockett. But, you know, if there's a good receiver there, they're going to take him. They just are. And if they don't like anybody, they're going to move back and do something something different, you know. So, I don't think there's anything, but it has not worked out really with receivers. If you look at, you mentioned Chris Durham,
Kevin Norwood,
the kid from Alabama,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
who's the other one? He ended up on the 49ers, I think, after he left here. He was another fourth round receiver. Was it another Chris? Were there two Chris? There was Durham. I think is Durham the one that went to the Lions and sort of. Had a little success and then eventually faded, and there was another. I felt like there was another Chris that they drafted in terms of a wide receiver that just didn't happen. I think he ended up on the 49ers, maybe their practice squad for a bit. Somebody will text you then.
Oh, hey, I mean, do you buy that? By the way, that I mean, is it
that the fourth round
just
is
not
cursed?
Good at yeah, no, that you know, they're just not good at drafting wide receivers, or it's just.
No,
a thing. It's just bad luck.
No, I don't. I think it's just how it goes. I think if we looked at the tendencies for any other team, you might look at another team and go, man, they can't figure out the tight end.
Chris Harper.
I knew it was a Chris. So Harper, Durham, Norwood. Yeah. And the fourth round is not nothing, but it's not the top two rounds. It's to me, it's in between taking a flyer and really committing. It's that gray area, right? If you draft a fifth, sixth, seventh round receiver, you're going, all right, we're going to see what he can do. And, you know, if it doesn't work out, you don't feel like, wow, we really blew this draft pick versus a top two or three. It's kind of in that weird in-between area between we're really believing and committing in this guy to we're taking a flyer.
Yeah. Well, it's funny how over the years, like, I know that, like, for a while, the thing was, oh, the Seahawks love the long, lean, tall corners.
Yeah.
Right? But, you know, everybody loves that. And, and you know, Schneider, I mean, he took Trey Brown. Trey Brown's little guy.
Yeah.
You know, but he can play. That dude can play.
Yeah. All right. Well, it looks like the team meeting has broken up. Hopefully we'll get a chance to speak with Taylor Trammell. If not, we'll make arrangements as we continue live from Peoria, Arizona at the Mariners team complex. It's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
We continue live from Peoria, Arizona. It's Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports on 710. And sitting here on set with us is a guy we often refer to as one of the nicest guys we've ever spoken to. We are co-presidents of his fan club. The one, the only, Taylor Trammell is with us. How are you, man?
I'm great. How you guys doing?
You don't ever get tired of hearing about what a nice guy you are, do you?
I just try to be there for people. That's kind of like what I try to do for the most part. That's kind of how I go about my business.
You know what's funny is I think when the trade happened, when you came over here, we had talked to somebody from your previous organization. Like, what? Tell us about him. What kind of player is he? What? First thing they said, you're going to love this guy. One of the nicest guys, one of the most genuine guys you're ever going to meet, you know. Mm-hmm. And we're like, okay, that's probably what you say about everybody. But then we talked to you the first time, and I think at the end of the interview, we're like, hey, thanks for the interview, man. That was really cool. You go, that wasn't an interview. We just had a conversation.
Yeah.
It's just like we were just having a conversation.
Yeah,
we're like,
exactly.
Wow, this guy is really nice.
Well, the other thing I think you said, and we asked you what was your favorite play, and you said, anytime I can lift up or help one of my teammates.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's money.
Yeah.
You got a lot of guys like that in there, right?
Yeah, we got a lot of guys, man. And just, I think it's kind of why you've seen the past few years why we've had a lot of success. You know, we're still building as a team. We're still building as, like, players and individuals. So kind of like that whole thing, man, it's kind of true. You know, everybody's lifting up everybody. If you see somebody down or something like that, you know, constant reminders that, you know, pretty much everybody in that clubhouse are dogs. So, you know, we got to remind each other each and every day of that. So, you know, we look up in October, you know, we're holding that trophy up. So that's kind of like where we're at right now.
Okay. We got to ask you about your hand. Obviously, we were talking to you off the air and shaking your hand like, oh, man, sorry. You know, we don't want to set you back at all, but looks like everything's on point, feeling good.
Yeah, we're feeling good right now. We're getting better. Hands got a little bit of discomfort here and there some days, good days and bad days. But I mean, it's a blessing, you know. I'd be able to do this, you know. A few weeks ago, that was a little bit of a struggle. So I'm building up strength back, hitting off the tee. So right now, I'm pumped, getting ready for the season. And you know, like I said earlier to you guys, the best surgery I could probably have to start the season is probably this one. So I'm pretty pumped up right now.
The good thing about a hand too, there's not just a ton of, like, if you rehab a knee, that, like, the best one I had in the off season was my thumb, because I'm like, what do you squeeze a ball?
That's
all it is. It's not just comfort. What are you attacking that you're trying to get better at this spring training as opposed to other years?
So like right now I'm kind of prepped for everything. Everything's prepped up. Everything's, you know, getting everything out in the outfield, making sure I'm 100% out there. That's just kind of getting that every day, you know, just trying to get as, I don't want to say perfect, but as the best as I can be out there. Like I said, help out those pitchers. And then, you know, I've just been being a rat out here. That's kind of like what I've kind of been doing, just standing in on bullpen, standing on everything. So biggest thing right now is just making sure I'm able to swing strong. That's the biggest thing right now, being able to hit the ball with authority. Past few days have been it hasn't been bad, it's been great. It's just been weird, you know. You swing you swing all off season, you're feeling good, and then you go a month without swing or anything like that. It kind of like kind of weird at first, but you know, at the same time, you know, you're like, okay, this is a process. So that's kind of like what I'm kind of working on right now, is just building up that strength in my bottom hand right now, making sure that I'm able to guide this hand wherever I need to guide it with authority.
Is there a time frame if they said, all right, we should get you full baseball activities within 2 weeks, and then you'll probably rehab in the minors and come back up, or what's the plan?
No time frame right now. We're still kind of playing that by ear right now. Still talking to those guys in the training room, seeing where we're kind of at, especially like right now, just the in-between of kind of everything. So nothing really like set in stone right now, but you know, it's pretty soon for the most part. That's kind of what I'm looking forward to.
So you were part of the trio, the roommates, before you guys were all married and everything. So it was you, Cal, and Logan, right?
Yeah.
What a great collection of dudes. Yeah. I mean, you three guys. And so, but what was your role as the roommate?
I was a mediator. I mediated everything. And I tell people all the time, like, it would be, I'd get back home and I just hear, like, yelling and, you know, arguments and stuff like that. And, you know, I would talk to those guys all the time. And, you know, what makes those guys good is that they're, you know, kind of like I think all of us, everybody here, we're kind of stubborn in a sense. So, you know, if we do one thing and we're having success with it, we're going to continue to do that. And so just hearing those guys talk on a daily basis as catcher, as pitcher, as outfielder, you know, it kind of made us better. You know, Logan has a certain way of thinking. Cal has a certain way of thinking. I have a certain way of thinking. And then, you know, we're all talking together. You know, I'm learning more about them from the baseball side, pitching side, wherever it may be, and learning from those guys each and every day. So that's kind of like what made us all better last year, and I love that.
Before the injury, did you have a homework assignment, for lack of a better term, mm-hmm. in the offseason, like, okay, I need to work on hitting breaking balls, or I need to get bigger and stronger? What was the assignment?
Breaking balls, man. I that was kind of like the biggest thing. I wanted to make sure, like, I'm feeling more comfortable, you know, bat-to-ball skills on left-handers, bat-to-ball skills on breaking balls. Because for me, you know, I have the strength. I don't have to do too much to get a ball out or get a ball to the fence. I just got to be consistent. So, the biggest thing for me is just staying simple in my approach. This offseason was great. I was able to go to the other side of the field a lot more with authority, not having to kind of like force it or anything like that, just letting the ball get deeper. Just talking to a lot of guys, having good conversation with Eric Davis, just talking to him about hitting, just philosophies, you know, just a whole bunch of things, certain situations, just hearing from, you know, guy who's had success in the big leagues for a long time, just being able to talk to him each and every day when we talk, just like, hey, that's a great way of thinking like that. He's talking about Tony Perez. He's talking about, you know, all the guys that he came up with and who he played with, how they thought. And so I took all that in, wrote it down, and, you know, just having that conversation, having that into my game is huge, man.
Hey, take you back to high school. You were a multi-sport athlete, right?
Yes.
Like, you were a really good football player.
I don't play it anymore, so I can say yeah. Yeah, I was nasty.
Yeah. Did you play other sports, though? Basketball?
Just football. And I think we got a – I think the UW football coach is here today. Is he here?
Really?
Yeah. I think
Kaylin DeBoer?
Yeah.
Chris Peterson, the other one.
Chris Peterson. I wanted to go up to him like, dude, you didn't recruit me, bro.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, you check tape. So, yeah, I thought that was kind of funny earlier.
Was that your first love, football?
Football. I started playing football for – well, actually, it was baseball first, and then I moved into football right after I moved into baseball right after football. But, yeah, I think football was kind of my first love. But after I think I kind of got tired. I didn't love practice. I hated practice. I didn't like it. And it kind of stunk because I could say I was a little bit better than, like, a lot of the other kids. So I was like, I could go home, study, and then come out, like, Saturdays if we had youth football. I'd just be like, hey, I'll just come out there, play youth football, and I'll come out there Saturdays and be ready. But nah, they were like, nah. Yeah, I grew out of love with it my senior junior year. You know, some hype was kind of coming up with baseball, and I was just like, I love baseball. I could be out there for 12 hours plus and be perfectly fine. And yeah, you know, for football, it was like, get me out of here.
I love your family story too. And I think you said, is your mom a teacher?
Yeah, so my mom worked at the school. She wasn't a teacher, but she worked at Sam's for 21 years, and then when I was in high school, she worked at the school. Yeah. Doing and marketing.
What'd your dad do?
My dad worked at the post office. I think he's gone his 35th year. But he's about to retire soon. So probably next year he's going to retire. So I'm happy about that. He needs to chill out. He needs to get on a fishing pond or something like that, or a lake. That's all he wants to do.
Just for a retired guy.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hey, I guess you haven't really had a chance to experience it, but all the new rules with the no shift, the pitch clock and everything. Just from your vantage point, do you like it?
I like it. I have my own thoughts about it. And some people might disagree with me, but the way I kind of see it is, especially with the pitch clock, I love it. You think about it. If it takes, like, there's 162 games in a year, you take off 30-ish minutes per game.
Yeah.
You know, that's 80-plus hours. We're not on our feet.
Yeah, just like standing around, too.
Exactly.
Right?
You know, and if anybody knows anything about, like, coming to spring training, like, how, like, outfielders kind of get into shape, like, it's just, it's not the running, it's not the, like, hitting and stuff like that. Obviously, you got to get in shape for that, but it's the standing around.
Yeah.
You know, we're sitting there standing on concrete. Some guys are standing on concrete with cleats on. Some guys are standing in the outfield. And the underlayer of the grass in Arizona is really hard. So you're going to see a lot of shin splints, like a lot of guys, like knee, like shins hurting and everything like that, just by the standing around. So, you know, I've seen a lot of guys, like, not complain too much about it this year because we're off. We're on and off. And it's kind of a fast-paced game. It's really awesome. And then I think with the pitch, like getting into the box and everything like that, you should adjust. I mean, easier to kind of get focused a little bit closer to the pitches and stuff like that. So that's kind of like my thoughts, really.
And the shift?
Oh, yeah, I love the shift. No, I mean, I like the shift
being
not
gone.
You know, if I hit a, you know, might disagree with me or stuff like that, but if I hit a ball 110 on the ground or something like that
to, you know, short right field,
I expected to kind of get, that should be a hit, you know. And then, you know, there's been a lot of at bats where I hit the ball up the middle or something like that. I'm like, yeah, it's a knock, and I see, you know, whatever, Altuve sitting up in the middle. I'm like, really? You know, it's like, come on now.
It had to be an Astro too. Jeez.
Yeah, you know, I'm just like, come on, guys.
Well, man, it is cool to see you out here. Obviously, it stinks about the injury, but it looks like you're getting close, and we can't wait to see you out on the field, man.
I appreciate that, guys. I'm nipping at the bud right now. I'm feeling good. I'm just blessed to be out here every day, man. I got a good group of teammates around me that are hyping me up, you know, keeping me engaged and everything like that, keeping me up, man. It's really awesome to see how, like, our teammates are kind of going about this.
Well, and you also got your fan club.
Exactly.
Here. Yeah, anytime you come back to us, man.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll pick you up.
Yeah, we're definitely pulling for you, man.
Absolutely,
we really
guys.
Appreciate the time and can't wait to see you out there.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate that so much.
There you go. Taylor Trammell of your Seattle Mariners, one of the best guys you're going to speak to and hear from out here. We're down here, Mariner Spring Training. We just got the chance to speak with the skipper. You're going to hear that conversation with Scott Service coming up. It's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.